message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, our God, the Lord, is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem. I trust that God's gracious peace will be your portion today. Beginning with Daniel 8 and continuing on through the remainder of the book, the emphasis is on the future destiny of the people of Israel. Unfolded before us in this chapter is human history as it relates to the Jewish people. With this chapter, Daniel returns to writing once again in the Hebrew language. The earlier chapters, written in the Gentile language of Aramaic, had particular emphasis for the destinies of the Gentile nations, their rise, their progress, decline, and even their eventual collapse. In vision, Daniel foresaw four great empires rising to prominence and power, empires to which his people, the Jews, would be subject. The times of the Gentiles, which began with the Assyrian conquest and the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC, will continue until Yeshua HaMashiach returns to set up his earthly kingdom. In this present chapter, we see God granting Daniel further knowledge concerning the Medo-Persian and Greek empires. The reason for this emphasis may be seen in the fact that during the waning years of the Greek Empire, a ruler would arise whose domination and hatred of the Jews would know no bounds. This domineering, destructive, and diabolical king was none other than Antiochus IV, who wanted to be known as Theophanes Epiphanes, or God Manifest. He came to the throne in 175 BC and reigned until his death in 164. It is a well-documented fact that for 7 years Antiochus made every effort to destroy the Jews and their religion. In his subjection of the Jewish people, Antiochus sought to impose on them both the Greek culture and the Greek religion. Every effort was made to stamp out the Jewish faith. They were forbidden to read the Torah, observe the Sabbath, practice circumcision, as well as many other Jewish practices. Those who refused to submit were coldly massacred. In one attack on Jerusalem, some 40,000 Jews were killed in 3 days of butchery. 10,000 more were taken into slavery. There is every possibility that the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11, refers to this time. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. It is noteworthy that Daniel says, "And to him," that is to the Antichrist or to Antiochus Epiphanes, "the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down." Antiochus systematically looted the temple of its treasures, carrying off even the golden altar of incense, the table of showbread, and the golden menorah. He then caused the daily sacrifice to cease by erecting an idol, possibly to Zeus, and offering pigs as sacrifice. To the Jews, Antiochus was not Epiphanes, God manifest, but Epimenes, the madman. Daniel tells us that the persecutions and desecrations were to last 2,300 days. History tells us that on December the 25th, in the year 165 BC, the temple was once again cleansed and purified and made fit for the worship of God. This cleansing is celebrated today as Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. It is believed that only enough oil was found to light the temple menorah for one day, but God performed a miracle and allowed it to burn for 8 days. Therefore today, the Hanukkah, a 9-branched candlestick, is lit in every Jewish home celebrating this festival. As a result of what he saw, Daniel became perplexed. Therefore God granted him the personal instruction of a heavenly messenger, the Archangel Gabriel. To enable Daniel to set things in perspective, Gabriel gave to Daniel some references to points of time. In verse 17, he says, "For at the time of the end shall be the vision." And in verse 19, he says, "Behold, I will make thee to know what shall be in the last end of indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be." And then in verse 26 we read, "Shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days." The words, "the time of the end" in verse 17, and "the end of the indignation" in verse 19, refer to the same period of time. What is noteworthy is that a study of the term indignation, as used in Scripture, reveals that it is that period of time when God is indignant or angry with Israel because of its rebellion. It is that period of history when God chastens his people, Israel, at the hands of the Gentiles, a period spoken of by Yeshua HaMashiach as the times of the Gentiles. This time of chastening is to continue through to the tribulation period and will only end when Messiah returns to set up his kingdom. Someone has suggested indignation is the title for God's program for Israel, while the term "the times of the Gentiles" is referring to God's program for the Gentiles during the same period of history. What could be the reason behind such treatment of God's chosen people? Fortunately, we are not left to our own imaginations for the answer. Two texts in Daniel 8 set the answer out very clearly. The first says, "And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression." While Antiochus was a brutal and evil man filled with enmity against Israel, the words "given him" indicate that his persecution of the Jews was allowed by divine permission. The words "by reason of transgression" indicate that God was chastising his ancient people because of their transgressions, their sins. Divine chastisement is never just for the sake of punishment. It also includes correction. God desired and still desires that his chosen people return to him in repentance and faith. The second text says, "the indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be." The words "at the appointed time" indicate God's controlling hand in the matter of Israel's chastisement. We have every reason to believe that Antiochus Epiphanes is a dread picture and symbol, even a precursor of the Antichrist who is to come in the end of time, or the tribulation period. There is no doubt that historically the chapter speaks of Antiochus Epiphanes, but it is equally clear that here is a foreshadowing of that evil man who is to come. Prophecy sometimes has a double fulfillment, and here is a classical example of that principle. In partial fulfillment, Daniel's vision deals with Antiochus Epiphanes, but its complete fulfillment will be realized in the coming Antichrist. I appreciate the words of Dr. Reynolds Showers, who writes, quote, "The little horn of chapter 7 is Antichrist. The little horn of chapter 8 is Antiochus Epiphanes. From the perspective of Daniel's day, the little horn of chapter 7 would live in the far distant future, but the little horn of chapter 8 would live in the more immediate future." Showers goes on to write, quote, "Although the two little horns would be two distinct persons living in different periods of history, they would be characterized by similar attitudes and actions. Both would oppose God, magnify themselves to the level of deity, and persecute the people of God. In other words, both would be extreme expressions of fallen men's mania to rule the world apart from God." End of quote. Is God working out his plan for the people of Israel? Yes. God allowed all that happened under Antiochus Epiphanes. The New Testament writer Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "Has God cast away his people? God forbid. God hath not cast away his people whom he foreknew." Today, God is calling out from among Israel a people for his name, and these, along with Gentile believers, make up his body, the church. Is the Lord, by his grace, calling you to repentance and faith in Yeshua? Then I encourage you to turn to him in faith today. Shalom, and may God richly bless you.